Folks, once again, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again. He continues to provide amazing updates. We got a great show for you today. You can reach out to them at andweknow.com/gold. That's andweknow.com/gold. Below this video, just click on that link. You'll be able to have the same conversation I'm having now with this team. And you'll be able to get amazing support with precious metals and so much more than that. It's almost like a personal relationship, like family, when you get a hold of them. It's a great thing. So how are you guys doing this week?
We're doing great. How about you?
Doing wonderful. Yeah, it's been amazing. The updates keep coming in. I believe that we're watching a movie and they're playing this out to wake up a lot of people. At the same time, a lot of folks have been affected and it's taken them to the precipice and making them realize, you know, how great things were many years ago. And, you know, it's finally a wake up call for many to quit being connected to this fiat currency. For sure, that's what one big thing that we've learned as this whole world system continues to bring us to one world government, one world monetary system, for sure.
Well, that is their end game, right? And everything that we're seeing, it's becoming so crystal clear, LT, of as you start to connect the dots, see some of the dominoes fall, right? That we can see the end game in front of us. We can see right through the shenanigans and see what they're doing, right? Because to me, it's you've got puzzle pieces, right? You've got political, economic, social, spiritual health, all these different puzzle pieces. They're all being put together and it paints this big, ugly picture of where the globalists want us. And we're seeing some of these pieces being put together and the dominoes are falling, even to the tune of we've got this president, you know, Biden. It's like, what's he going to do? And when you have that kind of chaos, right, at this close to the election where they're going to upend everything, people at this juncture are going to start to say, come on, just give us some peace.
Right.
Just give us anything. That nothing is making sense anymore. It's this bizarro world. And people on the right are saying that the left is completely evil. People on the left are saying the right's completely evil. And I don't know if this is wrong. I don't know if God needs to fix my heart, but I look around and I get so discouraged with humanity. I mean, so this is why I say that. I'm not discouraged with God, right? It's like, right. But I'm discouraged with humanity because I'm looking at people and their perception of things after the debate, right? So you've got this debate between Trump and Biden. And prior to that, look at the Democratic Party. Biden couldn't do anything wrong. He was actually doing a good job with the border. He's winning the war on inflation. Look at the amazing things that he's doing in Ukraine, and he's fighting for freedom and this and that. And he's actually smarter and sharper than a tack and better than he's ever been, right? Mm-hmm. So then he has the debate. And for some reason, finally, the left woke up and they said, this is really bad. We need somebody who's younger, who's sharper, who can actually hold a conversation and talk. And so now you've got the five big contenders that are hopefully want to replace him.
Right.
But that was narrative from mainstream media, right? Uh-huh. So the mainstream media, the trumpet, the mouthpiece of this narrative said something the very next morning. You would think, oh my goodness, Biden's like a pariah. It's like all of a sudden everybody wanted somebody else other than Biden because he was horrible and he was cognitively impaired and he couldn't. And it's like, wait, how did it really take mainstream media to tell you something for you to believe something?
Right.
What is wrong? Where's critical thinking skills in mm-hmm. this country?
That's right.
And but here's the danger in that is things can shift on a dime. Right. And it's just this narrative. And this is the control that social media has. And this is the control that mainstream media has. And this is why I get so demoralized with people right now. It's like, what? They can't think anymore. They've got wisdom that we were created in God's image with wisdom and discernment, creativity, knowledge, faith, passion, love. Right. And for some reason, we don't act on that. I'm stereotyping a statement there, right? It's like this big broad brush approach. But unless mainstream media tells us it's okay to think like that, right? And then it's like, oh my goodness, where are we headed? So anyways, as things move on during this election cycle, as you've got the war with Russia and Ukraine, you know, potential war with China and Taiwan, you've got this warships and off the coast of Miami. Now we've got this battle for the presidency, and nobody knows what's real and nobody knows what's not. But you know what? They're going to listen to mainstream media and they're like, that's going to be the truth. Right. So anyways, a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it's a kind of a reflection, I think, of the spiritual battle that this country is in. When you see these kind of physical manifestations, you know that the spiritual battle is waging, and it's a big one.
That's right. Yeah, that takes us right into the battle that's happening around this entire earth. I mean, we had something to show you here. Let's add this here. Russia contemplates legalizing stablecoins for international payments to evade sanctions. What's going on with that?
Okay. Take a quick step back in history to get to this story, right? So, sure. So the BRICS nations, that's not a new thing, right? They've been around for quite some time, you know, 10 plus years, who knows how long, I can't remember, but it's been a long time. They started because of economic sanctions, right? So when a country is at war with another country, or they don't like them or something, they throw economic sanctions on them to try to defeat that population, starve out their population, whatever. I'm not saying I'm against economic sanctions at all, right? It's a normal function during the times of war, economic war. Well, that's how the BRICS nation started. So now fast forward to today, Russia-Ukraine conflict started. Biden put economic sanctions on Putin, tried to get him out of the SWIFT system, starve out the population for no international bank wires, no domestic bank wires, no nothing, right? So ticked him off. And Putin already wants to de-dollarize the world. Right. So every time a sanction goes on Putin, he's going to actually intensify his attack against the U.S. dollar and try to de-dollarize it. 3 weeks ago, 300 economic sanctions placed on Russia by the U.S. Treasury Department. 5 days ago, what did they do? They basically put sanctions on Russia that said any company or financial institution, we talked last week about the Bank of China being the unlikely victim of all this, that does business with Russia is going to get economic sanctions on them. So right. Retaliation by Putin, because he's never going to sit back and do nothing, right? So what is this story all about? This is in response to the last economic sanctions saying, we're going to actually sanction any company or financial institution that does business with you. So what are they contemplating in Russia now? They're contemplating legalizing stable coins for international payments to evade the sanctions. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It means they're going to look to decentralized blockchain cryptocurrency, right, to actually avoid the sanctions. Because if their currencies are sanctioned, if banks are sanctioned, these financial institutions, well, then let's go to the decentralized world of cryptocurrency and have international settlements, payments from country to country be done in cryptocurrency.
Right.
So what does this mean for all of us? A, it just means that Putin, whenever he gets sanctions put on him, he's getting more and more ticked. And this is a guy who's kind of a loose cannon, or really a loose cannon. He's got warships off of Miami, nuclear ones. He's got the nuclear subs, right? So you have to know that whenever you put economic sanctions on somebody who's that personality profile, you're going to have consequences, right? So who knows what comes next? But what this to me signifies is it's the marching order. It's us marching down the path on the road to serfdom, where we are going to have central bank digital currency before you know it. If a country, and a major country at that, is saying we're going to use cryptocurrency for international settlements, no longer the US dollar, no longer the petrodollar, you know what? Not even the ruble. We're going to use stable coins in some form of digital format, right? So to me, this is what's needed for one of the things that's needed for central bank digital currency to gain acceptance. And that is, it has to be somewhat normal. Because if it's not somewhat normal, nobody in their right mind, and I mean nobody in their right mind, would say, yeah, LT, we want central bank digital currency, because they've promised that this programmable money that's that tests our ideology when we spend, they can cut us off from buying or selling if they don't like us. Who would want that? Nobody. Nobody would want that. But if you're starting to get really used to it, that's part of what's needed. The second thing that's needed is the technology, right? So this guy, Aidan Gomez, he helped invent the transformer at Google. Transformer, like the robots, the cars that turned into like robots, right?
Right.
So, but what this is talking about is that where machines are smarter than humans, theoretically, right? So this is what he's talking about, the emergence of robots. So he's basically saying how AI is going to increase profitability at businesses. Okay, what does this have to do with CBDC, Kirk? Well, I'll tell you. Okay. So, of course, that's sort of a dumb statement. Of course, artificial intelligence is going to be more profitable to corporate America, because when you can hire a computer, you don't have to pay a salary to a computer. There's no benefits. There's no HR. There's no lawsuits for discrimination, anything, right? So, and we're at this juncture in advancement of technology where, if you look back 6 years ago, ChatGPT pretty much started, right? So then every 4 years, we went from kindergarten level, like knowledge with ChatGPT, to senior high level intelligence. So that was 2 years ago. Now, every 4 years, you're going to see an order of magnitude difference in that. So from by the year 2027, artificial intelligence is going to be postdoctorate level thinking, which means computers could truly replace humans, right? So what does central bank digital currency need? It needs generative AI. It needs this artificial intelligence component to be able in real time monitor the transactions of every person at every bank in every country, to basically test the ideology of the user, because they can match that to their spending patterns, right? So that takes a technology that's so sophisticated and smart, rather than some person going through a paper credit card statement at some bureaucratic office somewhere and thinking, okay, well, so LT bought this and he bought that. And it's like,
right. Right.
And that would take forever. They can do all of this instantaneously and actually so fast that they could block a transaction in real time, right? But what this is doing is it's building a profile. It's building your digital social profile, your social credit score, the things that we've been talking about. So you know what? Now we've got two things happening. You're getting public acceptance of the technology, and B, the technology is there. Thirdly, you have to have a crisis that's pretty bad. Will people be willing to give up their freedoms?
That's right. Right?
So this is where we're starting to see now with banks failing. Because remember, last week we talked about four big, massive banks: Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Citibank, that have to submit orderly resolution plans, compiling or basically adhering to the U.S. bankruptcy code to the feds, because they can't pay off their derivatives debt. This is the problem. And an orderly resolution means something is disorderly and you have to fix it. That's right. What those two words mean. So they're expecting a crash that needs to be fixed. The orderly resolution is for the depositors at banks.
Right.
It's like, how are you going to orderly and systematically make sure your depositors are whole, so you don't have a major crisis and we can avoid a run on the banks.
Right.
So this is kind of where we are headed, and we're headed there very rapidly. So as we see these things start to happen, we've got AI, we've got all this other stuff. And now social, we've got, what about ideological testing, right? Yep. So people don't realize this has been going on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So LT, you've been at this for a while. Back in, remember back during the Obama years, Lois Lerner wanted to shut down the clergy. She wanted to shut down churches.
Yep.
In America. And yep. And she had pastors, you know, basically dripping sweat with fear from the pulpits. Like, you're going to lose your nonprofit status and donations aren't going to be able to be written off because you're being too political from the pulpit. Right. So every pastor in America was like, had this in the back of their mind. It's like, I don't know if I should talk about this because what if it's considered hate speech? What if it's too political? I'll just say nothing. Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is what I did my dissertation on. This dissertation called 300 Million Slaves. That was my theology degree, where it was a rallying cry to the clergy of America to wake up. That's not going to take away your nonprofit status. It's a fear tactic. And you know what? Part of my message was, so what if you're no longer a nonprofit?
Mm-hmm.
You're a church. People should give because God tells you to tithe. You know, it's not a suggestion. It doesn't say, well, tithe because you get tax break from it. No, he just says, give. And he says, test me on this too. And watch what I'm going to do for you. Right. So, so anyways, you had that happening. And then it was maybe 5 years ago, Family Research Council, not even like considered a fringe radical group. You know, they're very mainstream Christian kind of political, just family group who wants pro-family message.
Right.
They got debanked. Right. So now what happened 3 days ago? And then we saw the truckers in Canada, right? They got debanked because of their political stance.
Right. Right.
And then 3 days ago, now this is starting to happen in Germany. This one's actually a little bit scarier to me because it's an entire political party that got debanked. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right here, German bank Berliner Volksbank has closed the donation account of the right wing anti-globalist opposition party Alternative for Deutschland, AfD, following a petition by a group calling itself Grandmothers Against the Right.
Those are some fierce grannies, right?
But, oh my goodness. But
okay. So to me, there's a couple of points in here. Number one, it doesn't take a lot of people to get something to happen, right? So these grannies against the right, they got 30,000 petitions to say, hey, this bank, whatever the name of it was that you said in German, so this bank, you have to stop actually taking donations of this fringe conservative right-wing political party. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think it's fringe. They're an anti-immigration political party, kind of like the Republicans, right? I don't think they're really out there, but you know what? They didn't want that message. So they met with the board. They persuaded the board because they had only 30,000 signatures and said, you've got to stop taking donations from this place. Mm-hmm. So now this whole political party is forced to taking PayPal for their donations.
Right,
PayPal.
Right.
Okay. That's not going to last very long, right?
Yeah. So I don't even think those signatures came from real people. I think probably did not. Yeah, probably AI generated.
Yeah, it probably is. But what comes next? So this kind of made the news in Germany that these grannies, they went out and they stopped the donations for this right-wing group, right? So so then what happened to this right-wing group? 3 days later, German High Court got together and said, hey, anybody who is a member of the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland,
yep.
The name of the party is, no more gun ownership for you guys.
Ooh.
Like, what? So it went from financial, you know, debanking to now social, I would say, injustice and complete loss of freedom, right? So this is how quickly things can turn around, right? Yeah. This is part of where people think, okay, we've got the technology, you've got a crisis, but they're certainly not going to actually divorce you from your money based on your ideology. Ask the Canadian truckers, ask the members of the AfD in Germany. Not only did they debank them, but now they're taking away their other freedoms. This is what AI will do. This is what your digital social profile, your social credit score will do when you're against the grain of what the globalists want. Because central bank digital currency is not a freedom movement, right? It's a global economic enslavement is what I think it is. So now we have all this going on. It's like, well, Kirk and LT, how in the world do we protect ourselves? Because we always like to have a message of hope. Well, you know what? It's the same message that we've been talking about for over a year. Tangible assets like gold and silver, and I will keep talking about it for the next year if I have to, until the last person that's listening actually can protect and preserve their paper assets, their banking assets from this digital enslavement that I believe is coming. You can do that through tangible assets like gold and silver, right? But because it's something that you take delivery of, it's not digital. It can't be turned off with the flip of a switch, right? So when you have all of this stuff happening, that's the intangible, tangible stuff, the fundamental reasons why you would want to actually allocate into metals. But there's a technical one as well. Mm. It's booming in price, right? So in the last 5 months now, silver's up 40%.
That's right.
That's incredible growth. LT, people would be happy with half of that growth in double the amount of time. They'd be happy with 20% in a year, but we've got 40% in 5 months, and the fundamental forces that are causing that growth are not just intact, but they're getting worse.
Right.
So as I see us getting closer to the election, the more chaos, the more mayhem, the more turbulence, the more uncertainty, gold and silver should propel themselves to up higher levels, because we're really close to something right now. So there's always resistance points on a chart, you know, technically, as something is going two steps forward, one step back. Well, we've seen resistance points over the past year and a half as silver has been making this move. One was at $22. Well, actually, one was at $18. One was at $22. One was at $25, then $30, and now $32. What did it do at all those? It would get to a ceiling and come back down, get to a ceiling.
Right.
It blew past them. Right, it just blew past that ceiling. Now that old ceiling becomes your old floor. Blew past the next one, that becomes the new floor. The next one is at $32, and we're really close to that. We're over 31 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we hit above 32 and we stay there for a week or so, and then that's going to become the new support, not resistance, but support. Right. There is no other resistance points until silver hits 48, which is its old high.
Right,
so
right.
We've got technical, fundamental reasons why people should allocate into precious metals right now. And I would encourage everybody who's sitting on the fence, I would do so. And I would do so, I mean, rather quickly. I'm not saying you have to do it tomorrow or it's going to be over. No, but whenever something's going up, get in as soon as you can. When it's coming down, get out as soon as you can, right? We're in the midst of a big, huge secular bull market in gold and silver that's there. It's global. It has to do with supply and demand. It has to do with fundamental forces. It has to do with perception, you know, fear, people afraid that their banks are going to fail and everything else. Take advantage of those trends rather than those trends taking advantage of you, and we can just move forward together.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. We're watching all this play together, and I just wanted to mention real quick before we close that there are folks that are doing things, and it's being reported because of what you mentioned in Germany, right? There's a guy named Cruz who actually was with Real Madrid in soccer, right? And he said he's staying in Spain because he doesn't want to take his 11-year-old daughter back to Germany because of the immigration problems. And I guarantee you now, with him mentioning that, that probably is going to throw up some windows with whatever banking system he's using. So no matter what we do or how we try to hide, they're going to highlight it in the media, and they're probably going to start playing this game where they start shutting down accounts and more. And so it's getting really ugly out there. Very important time, especially now, especially with all of us standing with conservative values, how they're going to try to play this game. And we certainly hope that most of us would tie to biblical principles for sure in these strange days that we live in. So thank you so much for this update. Absolutely amazing, folks. You can go to andweknow.com/gold below the video. Click on that link and you will have the protection that you need, especially with precious metals. It's amazing the amount of growth we've seen just in the past 5 months. Once again, we look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet. God bless.